Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the first Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. And that brings us to the subject matter of baptism. Do you remember your baptism? Does it matter if you do or don't? A good number of us were baptized as infants, so a little difficult to remember. But the main thing about baptism is the fact that we have been baptized. Baptism is not we coming to God, but rather God coming to us. He comes to us and gives us life, and he gives us identity through the gift of baptism. That's what we want to focus on today. The world may not think much of you, but God definitely thinks of you and did something to prove it. Let's build on that in our worship today. We ask God to bless us as we do so. Our opening hymn is printed out for us in the service bulletin. We'll sing the first two verses of hymn 221. This too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and
be glad.
Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trust me in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed Him your beloved Son and anointed Him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with Him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
On this first Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, our first reading comes to us from 1 Samuel 16, where we are encouraged to not be deceived by appearances. And then that begs the question, is your heart being reflected accurately in your actions? We hear these words. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. Don't be deceived by its simple appearance. The water in that baptism font is powerful. It is powerful because it is connected to the almighty word of our God. We hear these words from Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
please rise for the gospel reading? From the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 3rd chapter, Jesus was and is no ordinary person. The baptism of Jesus, that was not for the purpose of saving him, but rather for the purpose of identifying him clearly as the one who was promised. We hear this account. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
O Christ. Please be seated. If there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, they're welcome to do so. Good to see everyone. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Got a question for you. Do you have a name?
Yeah. All of you. Yes.
All of you have a name? Is that true? All of you have a name?
Yes.
Why do you have a name?
So people know your name. So people don't call us Hey You.
Hey You? Yeah. They can be talking to anybody. Okay, so people who know call you?
So people know who you are,
family. Yeah, right. People know who you are, family, friends, so forth. Your name gives you identity, and your name also has a meaning. If you look up the meaning of your name, you might see how fitting that is to your personality. But the name gives us identity, and that's important. Instead of just the, hey, you. Baptism also gives us a name. And an identity. What name does baptism give you?
God's family.
God's family. What else?
His blood.
Gives you his blood, right? Through the gift of baptism. What other name does baptism give you?
Christian.
Christian, yeah. Child of God. Redeemed, right? There are many names if we had more time to come up with that baptism gives you. Why are those names important? What do those names give you? What do you think? What was that?
Identity.
Yeah. As you said, you're part of God's family. You belong. Just like your given name lets you know that you belong to your family, and people can call you by name for supper, can call you by name. Out of love, God out of love has given you a name to be a part of his family, to be redeemed.
I think once my family, we asked for Alexa what my name meant, and I think it meant wool.
Meant what?
Wool.
Wool?
No, wool.
Okay.
And
is that fitting?
Well, a lot of people think how to spell my name is
Watt. Okay.
W-A-T, but it's
W-Y-A-T-T. See, there you go, right? Interesting things when you look up your name. And interesting things when we consider our identity in God. You mentioned through baptism, right? We have the blood of Jesus, and that's what we get. Because we have sinned. And the only way we can be in God's presence and have the hope of heaven is because of what Jesus did for us. And what Jesus did for us on the cross and through the empty tomb that's given to us through the waters of baptism. So this baptism font is a powerful reminder of who you are. Not just your given name, but also your God-given name. And so when people call out your name, give thanks that you have a name, you have identity, a family, and also may that help you remember that, you know what? I'm also in God's family, because He's given me a name as well. A name that means that I'm saved. And now, today and every day, we can live our lives with this identity, with this name. We want to give glory to that name. Let's pray about this. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us into families, and families giving us name and identity. Help us live to the honor of this name. Most importantly, we thank you for giving us a new name at our baptism. Thank you for all the gifts that come with baptism, forgiveness of sins, and a new attitude in life and the hope of heaven. And also help us live our lives as good reflections of this name that you have given to us in Jesus. Thank you for our baptism. And thank you for the baptism of Jesus as he came to be our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. So be proud of your name and be proud of the name that God has given you in Jesus through your baptism. Thanks for coming up. We'll continue with our hymn 737 in the Blue Hymnal.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus in on the second reading for today. So we hear once again these words from Titus chapter 3. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through baptism gives us his identity. When it comes to the love of God, what are some words that you would use to describe that love of God? Just think about that for a moment. Words that you would use to describe the love of God. Our text provides several ways to define the love of God, to describe it. We talk about God's love, the word grace comes to mind, and the word grace leads us to the term undeserved or unconditional love, the word compassion, kindness, abundance, boundless, overflowing, could be added to describe the love of God. Now, why is it important for us to describe and picture the love of God and contemplate that love of God in such a way? Well, again, the words from Titus chapter 3 indicate why this is important for us to do, not just today, but really every day of our life, because baptism is something that has significance in our life each and every day. Many of us learn in the catechism the importance of baptism, not just for a moment, but lifelong, and not just for this life, but into eternal life. Dear friends in Christ, let us today and every day celebrate then our grace-given status. A status that has come to us by God's grace. And because of that grace and that status given to us, we have a hope in this life unto eternal life. And that's what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, was led to focus the believers of all time on. The fact that we have been given a new identity, one that has meaning and purpose, not just for this life, but into eternal life. But for us to appreciate this grace-given status, this grace-given identity that you and I have for this life into eternal life, we also need to reflect on where we have been and too often where we go when our old Adam gets the best of us. Verse 3 of Titus chapter 3 indicates this. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Bless you. At one time, we were foolish and disobedient. But by the grace of God, we have been called out of that foolishness and disobedience. And yet on this side of heaven, we need to keep in mind that the old Adam that was drowned at our baptism is a very good swimmer and pops up each and every day. And thus Martin Luther was led to emphasize the fact, based on Scripture, that we need to drown that old Adam daily. How do we do that? By contrition. True sorrow over our sin, recognizing our sinful condition and need for a Savior and repentance. A change of heart, a 180. But sometimes we forget to stop at 180 and we go to 360. And we're right back into our foolishness and deception and enslavement. Because the passions and pleasures of this world, they are very powerful and enticing. Because behind the passions and powers of this world is Satan himself. And God describes Satan as a roaring lion who is eager to devour you, to eat you up, because he wants you to spend eternity with him. And so he tries hard to continually enslave you into his ways. Thus the importance of daily contrition and repentance. Lord, on my own, I continue to remain enslaved to sin, to the old Adam, and the influences of Satan. But you have rescued me by your grace. And you empower me by your grace to say no to sin and to live in your righteousness. No longer enslaved, being hated and hating one another, but rather loving God and loving one another. How important then to remember our baptism each and every day, where we have been given grace, given status, identity, and power. What's behind that power and identity? Verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Kindness. Compassion. God did not have to show kindness to us. He did not have to show compassion toward us. Normally, a human's rule of thumb is if someone's not kind to me, if someone's not compassionate to me, then I am not going to show kindness or compassion back. Have we shown kindness or compassion to God that he should show kindness and compassion to us? No, we have not. But that's what he has given to us. And that's why that word grace is so powerful and beautiful to describe the love of God, because it is undeserved. It is unconditional. And that love that's mentioned here is not the typical agape love that we're used to, the John 3:16 love. This is a friendship love. God desires to have a friendship, a relationship with us because of that agape, that unconditional love. And so he took steps out of compassion and kindness to be our friend, and not just our friend, but our family. We cannot bring ourselves into God's family, but God has brought us into his family through the washing and renewal of holy baptism. And at the heart of that baptism is Jesus, our Savior, who has appeared among us. We heard in the gospel reading how Jesus was baptized, again, not because he himself had some sin and need for salvation, but rather so that he clearly identified with us, because he came to be our substitute. And so through Jesus, our Savior, we then become a part of the family of God. Romans 6 emphasizes that when we are baptized, it's as if we are buried with Christ. In the death he died for our sins. His death becomes our death. And his resurrection becomes our resurrection. And so now, when God looks at us through the eyes of Christ, he no longer sees the sinner, but rather the redeemed child of God that he sent his son, Jesus, to ransom. You, dear friends, have a grace-given status and identity thanks to the compassion and the love of God. Emphasized even further when he says in verse 5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Not because of righteous things we had done. Scripture over and over again makes it clear it's not by our works that we get ourselves in a right relationship with God. It's not by our works that we get ourselves into heaven. Because by nature, again, we are dead in sin. Dead people cannot make decisions. And even our righteous acts, our good works, God points out through the prophet Isaiah, are like filthy rags. They don't merit us anything before God. Rather, our good works emphasize that we are on the side of God. We don't need good works to get into heaven. But rather, we are called upon to do good works out of love for God, who has loved us first. And so he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Baptism truly is a gift from God. It's not we coming to him, but us, but God coming to us. Celebrate your grace-given status. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus became our substitute. Paul in 2 Corinthians emphasizes that he who had no sin, Jesus, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's all about him bringing us unto himself. That's the importance of the cross, where Jesus, who had no sin, became our sin. What we deserved, he took for us. And only he could say on that cross, "It is finished." We don't need to spend our time here on earth trying to make up for our sin, trying to appease God for our sin and our waywardness. Rather, we are able to spend our time here on earth living to the glory of God, putting his ways into practice, and telling others about the grace-given status that they can have through the means of grace, and in particular through the gift of holy baptism. He poured out on us generously his grace. It overflows from him. So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. He gave us identity and purpose for a reason. That not only would we live to his glory here on earth, but that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We need that hope, because here on earth there are hopeless days. But with Christ in our life, we are never without hope, even in the thick of the hopelessness. Because our life is not just the here and now. Our life, through God's grace and his status given to us, is about eternal life. We are heirs. We can not outspend the inheritance that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And he's not going to take this inheritance away from us. He's not going to buy an RV and put a bumper sticker on it and says, "I'm spending my kids' inheritance." He's given it all to us through Christ, through the washing of water and holy baptism. You can count on that. And so this hope is different from the hope that the world has. The world hopes for this or that. But in Christ, it is as if already done. And the aorist tenses throughout this text emphasize it's a completed action. His work of salvation on our behalf, it's completed. His appearing among us, it's already taken place. Our going to heaven, we're not there yet, but it's as if we are there already. Romans 8 makes the point we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so who or what can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, you name it, can it separate us from his love? No. And what does that move us to do then? To celebrate. Celebrate the grace-given status and the grace-given hope that you have. Celebrate it today and every day. As a part of that celebration, can you keep that news to yourself? Don't you want that news and that status and that ability to celebrate for others? So live it up. The Apostle Peter says, "Let people know of the hope that you have. Be ready to share that hope." Well, how are they going to know you have hope? By how you carry your life. Yes, in the midst of hopelessness, you still have hope. How can you still have hope? One word, Jesus. Well, how can I have that same hope that you have? Baptism. Invite him to come and listen. Go where they're at and share the simple gospel. Share why we need that gospel. Use the words of verse 3 of Titus 3. And pray that by the grace of God, they too will be in God's family with you. Not just now, but for all eternity. Celebrate the love of God in your life. That boundless, overflowing, compassionate, kind, unconditional, undeserved love of God in your life. That has given you status, identity, purpose, and a bright hope. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 8. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far, and bring people into heaven. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 9. Eternal God and Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and to grow in faith and knowledge, for occasions to serve and be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod.
Help us to rejoice in these blessings, dear Lord, and to use them faithfully.
Jesus Christ, Lord of the church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us. In the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost, help us to see your face, O Jesus, and to serve others as we would serve you.
Awaken us to the opportunities you give to proclaim your message of love.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect.
Set our hearts on fire as we work and witness for Christ.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray for a family member, an acquaintance, a neighbor, or a friend who does not believe in you or whose faith is weak or troubled. Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others.
Move us to support them with our sincere prayers and generous offerings.
God of mercy and might, we commend Aaron Lockleen's mother to you as her health is failing. Renew her through the peace which transcends all understanding. Renew the family as well through this same peace. As you will, sustain her life here on earth and renew her health. For those who have medical procedures this past week, thank you for watching over them. Grant them good and quick recoveries. For the ministry we are able to do in your name during 2018, we thank you, Lord. Continue to sustain us by your grace and through your means of grace as we charge ahead with plans we trust will help us grow in our relationship with you and reach out to others with the hope offered through the gospel. To that end, guide us during the upcoming call meeting for an upper grades teacher. As we look to expand ministry opportunities, grant us the ability to do so, all to the glory of your name. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you, Lord. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. And wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever.
Sing to your wall, hear our prayer, and help us in our mission.
Amen. Also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God rules, now and forever. Amen. Hymn 736, The Blue Songbook. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Each week we have an opportunity to gather with our family, and so each week you have an opportunity to recognize each other. So I would encourage you to reach out to one another, and if you know the person's name, great. If not, ask for their name, and please be willing to share your name. Hopefully it's the same name you used last week. If you don't remember their name next week, just call them redeemed, right? That's who we are. Thanks to Christ. Bible studies to help us grow in our relationship. We're talking about be prepared to answer. It's an apologetic study in defense of the gospel. So we're looking at that. First question we're looking at, is there a God? How do we answer that question? And then in the chapel, we're looking at the Bible study entitled Great Chapters of the Bible. So again, another powerful way for us to grow in grace. Welcome Center for our guests among us. Glad you're here. If you haven't stopped by the Welcome Center yet, please do so. Speaking of opportunities to share the gospel, if you notice on the outreach bulletin board, if you want to invite family or friends, or even one or two people to your house and share the gospel with them, contact the outreach members and they'll help you set that up and even come to your house and do a basic law gospel presentation. So keep that in mind. More details on the bulletin board there. Speaking of further outreach opportunities, membership, if you're interested in membership or just what we practice and teach and believe, we have a membership course beginning on the 27th of this month at 5 o'clock Sunday evenings. Sign up opportunities online or check out the bulletin board. We do have a congregation meeting today after the late service to review the 2018 ministry. And then also to extend a call to an upper grades teacher. Thank offering envelopes are still available if you haven't picked them up. So please see those boxes there in the entryway. If you haven't returned a commitment card for 2019, again, you're welcome to do so. The box for those commitments to be returned is there by the envelopes. We could use greeters. If you notice in the back of the bulletin, there's some empty spaces there. So if you want to consider being a greeter, at the door and call everybody redeemed, please talk to Carolyn in the office and she'll get you set up on that. We do have some plants and candles left from Christmas. They're out on the table there on the east side in the lobby, so help yourself to a plant and or candle. Church directory, We need more people to sign up. It may not happen, actually, if we don't get more people to sign up. Thank you to those who have. So please see the table back there or go online this week to sign up. We'd love to see this happen, but we're not meeting our quota, so check it out. Other than that, please see the weekly news for more information. Great stuff on the website as well. We're going to watch our Wells Connection. Stay connected to the work we do together as brothers and sisters throughout our church body.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. January is a good time to take stock of the blessings of the previous year. There's much to celebrate as we appreciate our past and look to the future. Perhaps the most unexpected blessing of 2018 came from Vietnam, where Wells became the first Protestant church body to be sanctioned by the Vietnamese government to provide theological education to the Hmong people in that country. It started with Hmong Christians in Vietnam finding Wells sermons on the internet, and it's led to plans for a Wells Theological Training Center in Hanoi. Again, we're the only Christian church with permission to do this kind of teaching, an amazing blessing.
The Vietnamese official said it best when he said, you know, you bring a peace to the Hmong people that we can't enforce on them, and that's through your gospel, and that's a powerful tool.
Our oldest world mission on the Apache Reservation celebrated its 125th anniversary in 2018. At a special event in October, more than 1,200 people attended, evidence of just how deeply the gospel message is appreciated by the Apache people.
For 125 years, you've been blessed in this place with the proclamation and preaching of the true Word of God, with a message of Jesus, your Savior, with a message of law and gospel.
Home missions saw a number of new starts or mission enhancements in 2018. Earlier this year, Wells Connection profiled the new congregation in Reno, Nevada. Similar efforts were started or expanded in places like Bluffton, South Carolina, and Phoenix, Arizona. More than a dozen locations in total.
This is the home that I've longed for, my church family. I've searched for a very long time in my life. So the connection with the people here in our beliefs and is what I believe in.
2018 marked the 25th year of Kids Connection, the monthly video program designed for young people to help them keep connected to their Savior. And that's also the goal of the Wells International Youth Rally, which gathered in Bowling Green, Ohio this past summer. It's the largest assembly of Wells Lutherans anywhere.
I just love doing all the workshops and hearing everybody else's point of view on stuff that me and my friends talk about.
The 501st anniversary of the Reformation this past fall was an opportunity for congregations to engage in a special Mission and Ministry Sunday opportunity. Centerpiece was the new Wells evangelism film, To the Ends of the Earth.
Because of Jesus, God loves you.
But how? I'm unworthy. How can I have a life with God?
Jesus did everything necessary for you to have life with God. It's a gift earned by Jesus for you.
More than a year after Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico, many relief agencies have left the island. But Wells is still very much engaged and will continue to be throughout 2019. As we help rebuild churches, homes, and lives. It's just one of many disaster areas in which Wells Christian Aid and Relief is working to help those in need.
I mean, God loved us, and we've got the, you know, the time and the talents that we can actually be able to take some vacation time and use the talents.
Despite all the strife in our world, there's much to look forward to in the year ahead. The large classes that are slated to graduate from Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in the next few years will be a great benefit to our churches and schools. And in July, God willing, more than 400 delegates will meet on the Martin Luther College campus for our Synod's 65th Biennial Convention with the theme For Generations to Come. That theme is a good reminder that the centerpiece of all we do in Wells is preserving and proclaiming the good news of the gospel for this generation and the next, until Jesus returns. May God bless our efforts as we begin 2019.